This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave. Yes, that's right. We're on Community Radio 3CR with a Friday Rave. Hope you can hear us out there. I'm joined on the line today by the, I won't call it wonders because we're having all kinds of tech problems, but we'll see. Are you with us, Mercedes?
I am indeed. Tuning in, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you on the line and it's working out there, Tild? Yeah, we got Tild from Slacker Radio who comes on after us, who's more of a tech head than I am, just helped us get connected today, so thanks, Tild, and stay tuned after a Friday Rave for Slacker Radio. And I've got to say thanks to James from In Your Face for another wonderful show today. Mercedes, we were going to have a different show today because there was a federal court case this afternoon, or there was supposed to be. And we were going to report, interview people there and take some sound bites and report on that. But in the 11th hour, the case was adjourned. And we're talking about the one.
It was.
Yeah, the one brought by Al Haq and the Palestinian Human Rights NGO with the Al Mazan Center for Human Rights and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. In an application for preliminary discovery. In the Federal Court of Australia to compel the Minister for Defence, Richard Marles, to release documents related to Australia's arms exports to Israel. But as I say, at the 11th hour, it was adjourned until the 22nd of June.
26th of June, actually.
26th of June,
just
is
to...
it?
26th of June it was had been adjourned. I was going to join via video link, but got the email to say it had been adjourned.
Oh, right. Okay. I've got the 22nd on my little email I got sent, but that's our legal system, mate. That's our legal system. Yeah. Let me just bring it up here on my computer and see what it says here. Blah, 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 blah. On there, no, it doesn't say anything on their press release. But there's always a chance I got it wrong and copied the number down wrong. That's always a possibility, isn't it?
Sometime in June. And look, we've got a few weeks till then, so I'm sure that won't be the last time on a Friday Rave that you'll be hearing about this case.
Yeah.
As it gets closer.
And we were at a seminar yesterday at the law school at that august institution, none less than the Melbourne University Law School, talking about it. And there seems to be some push from the established NGOs to actually do something about it, because the court case is based on the fact that at least two companies are making parts in Australia as global sole contractors for Lockheed Martin's F-35. What can you tell us about those companies?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure Friday Rave listeners will be well aware, and it's been in the news a fair bit. In this instance, companies like Rosebank Engineering, which is down there in Bayswater, and Ferrer Engineering, that started up in Queensland, just outside of Brisbane, has been in the news for making sole source supplier companies. Now, Rosebank will be, as I said, Friday Rave listeners will be familiar with Rosebank Engineering, and they're owned by a mob called the Australian Sovereign Defence and Advanced Manufacturing Group, and they make the uplock actuators or the bomb bay doors, which is more, which is the mechanism that I think and actuates is the term that actuates the bomb dropping from the F-35.
Actuates is a wonderful word. It turns it from a...
And they...
what's the word, a prospective or a possible bomb to an actual bomb.
Yes.
It actuates.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Now, ASDAM. You mentioned ASDAM, and we have mentioned ASDAM in the past on this radio show. And just reading from their website, it says ASDAM is a leading. It stands for Australian Sovereign Defence and Advanced Manufacturing. All right, and it says it's they've just had to change their website in the last couple of weeks because they've. It says it provides end-to-end capability across design, engineering, blah, blah, blah. But they've recently just bought another mob, so they call themselves Australian Sovereign Manufacturing, and they've just bought an English mob called Altum Engineering. That's... Yeah, that's... When you look at its industry sectors, and they're not in alphabetical order, the first one it lists is nuclear. And they say,
okay,
yeah, Altum Engineering is one of only a handful of companies in the nuclear industry sector who is recognised as a key supplier to the market. Work with clients both in nuclear decommissioning and in new build projects, and has experience at meeting stringent demanding quality assurance regime. So I don't know how sovereign it is buying buying a Pommy company, but then I suppose we're going to be buying Pommy boats, or they're going to be building the boats in England, boats that aren't actually ever going to be built. So,
well, I mean, maybe ASDAM are just doing the thing that the US government's done and classifying one of the AUKUS partners as a domestic source, Jake.
That could be it too. That could be it. England is now a domestic source for Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, but also do defence, I've got to say.
Okay. Well, just on ASDAM for a moment. Now, they are majority owned by a mob called CPE Capital, and they have under their umbrella, they have companies including Mirand Precision Engineering, Ultima, which you just mentioned, Mirand, which of course we know is down in Geelong.
Yep,
they've
got... Hello? I think I've lost you, Mercedes.
In April... Oh, have you got me back again?
Got you back again, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. They've also acquired last year Quickstep Holdings. Now, Quickstep are a mob. They've got a place down in Deakin University, down there in Geelong, and they also make... So ASDAM, as an umbrella company, supply Australia's largest supplier collectively to the F-35 program. Now, another one of those two companies that we know is so sole source, there's actually more than two, which I want to talk about very soon, is Ferro Engineering. And now the interesting thing about, I mean, Ferro Engineering, there's been lots of actions and continuous actions at Ferro over the last few years. But Ferro are the sole source supplier of what they call the alternate mission equipment weapon adapters. So, excuse me. And so that's a program that started, it's set to be completed in 2005 and set to be completed in 2035 is their contract up to now. And they supply those AME systems to a US company called Marvin Engineering.
Right.
And since 2003, Marvin Engineering are the managing partner that oversee all of the aircraft armament equipment in the Lightning, in the F-35s.
Right.
So
okay.
Another thing about Ferro, and this is on, you know, in the depths of Ferro's website, according to their website, their AME weapons adapters, and this is a quote, are subject to full batch traceability, customer-approved manufacturing plans, and serial number traceability, which involves the use of physical barcodes on each component.
Right.
So every F-35 in the world contains Ferro's weapons adapters, and each of those components are, according to Ferro, subject to full batch traceability.
Traceable. Everything's got a serial number, which these days, of course, takes the form of a barcode.
Yes.
So
indeed. And now, and so I get.
Whoop, you're gone again.
Happening today that ALHAC have put for discovery of the documents relating to export of weapons parts to Israel. And it's about the contracts, the defence contracts, which you may have seen in the news and set an estimate saying that there were 66 export permits.
Yep.
To Israel. And in their classic neither confirm nor deny tactics, which we see, it's kind of started in nuclear, but we're seeing encroach in other areas of defence and weapons manufacturing. It's also about that traceability in the supply chains and sort of getting these documents so we know that actually what's gone and from when, because, between, I think.
You're gone again.
Israel received an additional 3 F-35s. In April of last year, they received.
You keep cutting out, Mercedes. I don't know what's happening here, but we keep losing you. Are you there?
Time between November 4, they got 3. So there's a kind of continuous stream of new F-35s that are arriving in Israel during the genocide and those that were before. So I guess it's a big part about those kind of the work that we do, Jake, is looking at that, I guess, that contractual information of like what contract exists for which lot and which part of those aircrafts are going. But it's about the supply chain as a whole system, which operates in order to obfuscate the role of these companies and the supply.
Yeah, and if people wanted to get onto the Renegade Activists website at renegadeactivists.org and go to the resources page, you get all the information there on a brilliant paper that you've put together, Mercedes, Australia's involvement in the Lockheed Martin F-35 Joint Strike Fighter program. And it shows all that there. And it's interesting you say that everything is barcoded, so you can trace back to each individual part in any F-35. This is something that's not new. This is something that I know, even working with sound stuff and computer stuff. You give a serial number, and the manufacturer can tell you exactly who that serial number was sold to.
Yeah, and whether I know Farah are explicit about the fact that they have full batch traceability for their components. It's a little bit murkier in the other companies, but as like this is for customs. I mean, Al Jazeera released a report last week, and shout out to Carl and Maggie, who was the journalist who put that report together, looking at the Israel Taxation Authority.
You're gone.
Imported under the code, I think it's XIX, which would be what, 19?
Yep.
Section 19. Of the customs report.
Hello. We keep losing you, Mercedes. Are you there, Mercedes?
Imported.
Mercedes, can you hold on a moment, please, mate? We keep losing you. I don't know what's happening to. Is there somewhere you can get a little bit better reception or somewhere?
Oh, look, I'm out under a clear sky, so I don't know. I'll just hold my hotspot up in the air.
Right, you've cut out a few times, but basically you were saying that that Farah can trace back to a particular lot, and we know which lots went where.
Yeah, have you got me now?
Got you now.
All right, and now another company that is in that report that is on the Renegade Activist website. So it is from December 2025. So. There's going to be, more information, but Chemring Australia. So Chemring, and this is another one that looking at the contract information, Chemring Australia is the Australian subsidiary of the Chemring Group, which is a UK listed multinational.
Yep.
And they've got a facility out in Lara, so Defence Minister's area.
Yeah,
and whatever his name is.
148 acres, I believe, their facility is. 150 acres down there in Lara.
It's a really big facility. And so they make the what's called the MJU-68/B countermeasure flares.
Now you've got me excited. And what are they?
Videos of being targeted. They send out the flares as a diversion for any missiles that are locked onto the plane. Now, when they say that, you know, the countermeasure things are kind of always cast as this kind of safety feature or whatever, but the reality is the planes can't fly if they don't have these things. So, you know, it's about what is necessitating these planes getting in the air. And so that we know what F-35s have been carpet bombing Gaza and Iran. And so the countermeasure flares, Chemring Australia, and this is a quote from the contract, and this was a 2020 contract. And this is a quote from the contract data from the US Navy. And the significant contract award confirms Chemring Australia's position as the designated sole source for operational countermeasures. So operational countermeasures is when the planes are in conducting an operation.
That's right.
And so that's for Australian, US.
All right, we keep losing you, Anne Mercedes. So we lost you a bit when you were talking about what these countermeasures are. But I'll just fill the listener in that what they are is they're flares that travel with are on the F-35, so that when a missile, there's an incoming missile threat to an F-35, it sends these particular types of flares out that attract, they're called MJU-68Bs, they attract the incoming missile. So it's like a sacrificial lamb. So the missile doesn't hit the F-35; it just hits the flares. And F-35s cannot fly. You're saying without these Chemring flares.
Exactly. Have you got me back again?
Yep, got you back.
Yeah, apologies to everyone out there listening, but I will keep going if I got it. While I've got this,
go for it. As soon as I said I had a
January
back.
Of 2024 bill contract. Have you got me back?
Yep.
And so they got an additional contract. This is Chemring in January of 2024 to meet the US's financial year 24 requirements for those countermeasure flares. And that was the deployment schedules. Chemring Australia was chosen because as the sole source supplier, because they are able to get the order completed within the time frame for the United States Air Force requirements and other global F-35 operations.
Right.
And so the other, and we have the data in that report to say that of that initial 2020 order from Chemring Australia, Israel received 685 countermeasure flares. So the global operations, it is global operations, but where are F-35s used most readily? It's by Israel.
Yeah, and they're the only ones that, well, until March when the United States started using them on Iran, they were the only times that they'd been used in anger. And I just want to make a point here, mate, if you don't mind. You keep referring to Chemring Australia, and that's what they're called, Chemring Australia. But I want the listener to be aware that that doesn't mean, just because you call something Chemring Australia, it doesn't actually mean that they've got anything to do with Australia. All a company needs to do in order, what they do is they call themselves, I could be a foreign company and just call myself Jacob Australia, and then apply for an ABN with the Australian Taxation Office, and that makes me an Australian company for the purposes of defence defence procurement and defence exports and defence grants and all kind of tax write-offs.
I think I've lost you.
All kind of tax write-off.
And that's exactly right. And I think a really glaring example of that, and I don't know if I've mentioned on the show before, I probably have, but you're going to hear it again, is an Israeli company called Epsilor, which make the batteries. And they're the company that has the contract to make the battery systems for the Redback infantry fighting vehicles, which are being made down at Avalon by Hanwha. And now I looked into this company and had a little bit of a look at you know, because they're an Australian company, it says. And so they've got an Australian ABN, but their registered address, when you look at it online, is just one given out by a company that basically just is based in Adelaide and collects mail. So it's like, all right, we've got an ABN. We don't actually have to have a presence in the country at all. We're going to pay this company to have a post office box where the mail gets sent to, and then we can get an Australian sovereign defence manufacturing tick of approval, say.
Exactly. And it's what's called a serviced office. They're all over the place. And, you know, in the old days, serviced offices were just used by small-time operators who didn't have the need to employ full-time staff or receptionists. They just needed somewhere to be a registered business office. But now they're being used by multinational corporations to pretend they're an Australian-based company.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yeah, I do, if you want to have a read, definitely jump on the Renegade Activist website and have a look at the report. And keep your, there was an event last night by the Australian Centre for International Justice and Al-Haq, which is the crew putting this court case in the federal court at the Wheeler Centre. So there might be some stuff online coming up from that talk as well. I'm not sure how the Wheeler Centre do that, but some listeners might have made it along to that. Yeah. But just going back to the Al Jazeera report, and there is in that data, there's not a lot of details about Australia, but it suggests that from that data, there was an export of arms and munitions under that section of the customs codes that was imported to Israel in January of 2025 that was worth, I think, $29,300.
Which is bugger.
So went on to try and get the customs data and almost crashed my computer because the file was so big. Yeah. And it came up with a...
Almost crashed your computer. I was trying to do it on my phone on the tram here, mate.
Into and fine.
We've lost her again. We've lost you again, Mercedes.
Apologies, everyone.
But we've only got a couple of minutes late, so I'm actually going to say thanks, Mercedes. I might have to leave you here, mate.
And, no worries. Thanks, everyone. And remember the Radiothon fundraiser at Heart Out this coming Monday, the 1st of June.
This coming Monday at 6:30 at Heart Out, which is on Plenty Road on the 86 tram line right near the corner of Tyler Street. And it's
thanks, everyone.
Thanks, mate. That's not just a 3CR. That's not just a Friday Rave fundraiser. That's actually for the whole of 3CR. So that's happening. I was going to tell you about another fundraiser happening tonight, but that's actually sold out, so I can't tell you about that. I've got to say to you, just in the couple of minutes we've got left, you heard the thing. There's a rally to save public housing tomorrow, 11 a.m. at the State Library, and then marching to the Atherton Gardens, which is the public housing towers there on the corner of Gertrude and Brunswick Streets, where there'll be a community festival after the rally. And we'll be, as we often are, we'll be organising the sound at both those gigs. So please come along and come up to the stage and say hi. And that's about all I've got time for today. Really sorry about the technical difficulties we had with our roving correspondent, Mercedes. But that's just the way of things, mate. That's why if you give enough money to Radiothon, if you ring in a couple of weeks, or ring now, you don't have to wait a couple of weeks, or come on Monday, in fact, to Heart Out, and donate some money, donate billions. Donate billions. It's tax deductible, folks. And if you donate your firstborn child, we'll be able to have the technology that enables us to speak on the phone and on computer calls and all the rest of it without it sounding so atrocious with such bad reception. So do that. That's what we're about. We're here at a Friday Rave. You're listening to Community Radio 3CR, and we'll come back to you with more next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.